studio, but you found us okay, which is good.
I did take a wrong turn, but you know, that was part of the adventure.
It's always an adventure. First of all, welcome to 101, and I have to say, a little ray of sunshine with your cabaret act that we saw before. You didn't realize everybody was watching.
No, I didn't. Thank you for having me on the show, and I'm really grateful that you keep pointing out that I'm a great dancer.
Fantastic. If only we were filming it, it would have been great. Nicole, I sort of stalked you on Facebook, as you know, because that's the way it works. That's how I got all my interviewing guests. Yeah, keep going. But you've got a fascinating story, but the more interesting story is the one we were chatting about while the last music track was on. We were chatting about Doha and the Middle East, and I said, what were you doing there? And you said...
I met my husband there in the first 24 hours.
So did you go to... Was the entire intention was, you know what, I'm going to go to Doha and find myself a husband?
It was the complete opposite, actually. I was living in the UK. I did my two-year visa, backpacking, did my thing, worked for BP while I was there.
Yeah.
And then my visa was running out and I had to go home, but I wasn't ready to go back to Australia yet. And so one of my colleagues said, listen, come and meet me in Abu Dhabi. He was in Abu Dhabi at the time. And I'll show you around the town, introduce you to people, and you'll have a good time. Well, I was a single, blonde female. Going to a Muslim country 17 years ago, and I was thinking, oh, are you sure I should do this? But this is how he sold it to me. He said, today I basically was skiing behind a boat, and on one side of me there are dolphins, and on the other side of me is palm trees. And I was like, great. I'll change my flights, I'll be there.
Yeah, you had me at dolphins, basically.
Yes. Dolphins. So I arrived on the Friday night, and on the Saturday morning, because the weekend was Thursday, Friday, so Saturday is a normal work day, I went into the office. I was using the internet, because back then getting internet was a rare treat.
Oh, you mean like Australia is now?
I'm not going to go
there. There's another story. Anyway, carry on.
And then I printed something and went to the printer to go and collect it, and I walked past the office next door to me. And I looked up and I looked straight into the eyes of this guy in a uniform and I thought, wow, okay.
So this is a Richard Gere moment, basically.
Real Hollywood movie moment. It was amazing. But I'd actually, I'd been married for 6 years. I moved to the UK, went traveling. Then I was with somebody else for 3 years and I was done with guys.
Yeah.
I'd just broken up 2 weeks before that. I was definitely not planning to meet my husband.
So you had maybe a suitcase, and in a suitcase it had a T-shirt that said transitional man, and that was the idea for the next one. And all of a sudden, Richard Gere just turns out and dolphins, boom, done.
Absolutely,
that was it.
Done. Okay. And then 4 days later, I knew I was going to marry him. And it was nearly, I was around about 10 days before I knew that he was going to ask me.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's dare I ask, are you still with him now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good thing. Cool. That's a bit of a relief. So, okay, so you're over in Doha. Now, one of the things that interested me was your sort of background and what's got you to where you are now, and more of an interest in health and well-being and pretty well looking after yourself. Just tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. I worked for over 20 years in the corporate world, and my last major corporate role was head of human resources for an international bank. And I was in the Middle East. At that stage, I was in Doha, Qatar. And I looked in the mirror one day, and I was just fat, sick, and successful. But what other people deemed success. So I had all the money. I had 27 staff that reported to me. I had a great reputation. I earned loads of money. I had great holidays and those sorts of things. But I was dying on the inside.
And that's the trouble. You know, people define success in different ways. Mm. To some people, it's having lots of money. To others, having a nice house, living somewhere. But if you're not happy and if you're not well on the inside, it means nothing. Mm. And I remember my granny when I was growing up saying, if you've not got your health, you haven't got anything. And I didn't understand that. So I'd rather have a career, rather have money, whatever. What stage did you realize, I've got to do something or I'm really going to be in big trouble?
It was a combination of things. One of the triggers was driving to work in the morning and this amazing song came on the radio. And it's an artist that I love. It's Pink. And whenever her song came on, I would get the tingles and the hair would stand on my arms and be like, oh, and I would sing out loud, thankfully, with the windows up.
That's a relief for everybody around, having seen the dancing today. Yes. What was the song?
Oh, I can't remember, but what I do remember was that I had nothing.
Okay.
I was empty, I was dead on the inside, and I thought, uh-oh, this is not living. This is barely surviving. And I went into the office, and I'd been to the doctors, and I'd given them a long list of my health complaints, like bleeding gums, gas, diarrhea, bloating, constipation, aches and pains, headaches, bit of depression, falling asleep at my desk in the afternoon, just a long list of stuff. And I was in my late 30s, and what do you think the doctor said to me?
Well, I would imagine even the depression. So this was a doctor in the Middle East. Yeah. So they wouldn't recognise that for a start, I'm guessing.
Oh, they're very. There was a lot of Western and well-educated doctors over there as well. But his essential response to me was, and I'm 38 at this point, is that, oh, these are normal signs of ageing.
Really?
I was like, well.
So what we're saying, so we're saying that at 38 years old, you've got early onset menopause, is that what he's saying? Is that,
you're falling apart, yeah. Your best years are behind you. So and that's exactly what I thought. I thought, you're kidding me. I missed the best years of me, of my body, of my mind, of my potential. And so I actually went to my boss and said, listen, I need to quit. And I've been offered a head of human resource, but a global role based in Dubai, and I'm going to leave. And it was for the Islamic arm of our bank.
Okay.
And he just basically said, no, they'll eat you alive, it'll kill you. And I thought, he's right. But that was my coping mechanism. It had always been, this is difficult, I'm going to excel at it at whatever cost, physically, mentally, emotionally, and even relationship-wise, and I'm going to take the next big thing, because surely that's what makes you happy, achieving more,
so
more.
You recognise within yourself that everything wasn't right. What about your loved ones? What about your partner? What about your friends? Did they, were they honest enough and said, Nicole, do you know what? You're actually running yourself into the ground here.
They may have been saying it, but they didn't get my attention. The one person who was probably suffering the most and giving me the most feedback was my husband.
Of course.
He never saw me. I'd come home, I'd be exhausted. I'd work really, really long hours. On the weekends, I'd keep working or sleep.
Huge strain on any relationship.
Yeah.
So anyway, you had a wake up call, and now if we just fast forward to 2016, very different Nicole, very different. I mean, clearly very different. Very confident as far as health is concerned. You look a picture of health, and you've launched your own online TV channel. Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, there's a big jump in the story there, which is a key one, and that was that I did eventually go to a detox retreat in Thailand, and I did things that I didn't know you were. Could actually do with tubes and
too much information.
Good morning.
People might
good
be
morning,
having their breakfast.
Yeah. But it was amazing because I suddenly realised how good you could feel inside your own body and how good you could feel inside your own mind. And it was a real revelation for me. So I went back to the work after about 3 weeks and I called my boss. He and I spent hours every day talking about business strategy and, you know, how to create change in the workplace, et cetera, et cetera. And he was chain smoking in the office, British guy, CEO of the bank, could smoke in his office.
Back in those days, you could.
And, you know, it's a different world over there. We were living on Turkish coffee, skipping meals, fast food and adrenaline. So, not a great strategy for long-term success. And then I called him and I said, listen, I've just had this amazing experience. I have to tell you all about it. He's like, oh, I just got off a plane. I'm pretty pooped. Can I see you tomorrow? And I said, yeah, sure. And he was dead the next day.
Wow.
And he was 49. And I thought,
I mean, that's a huge wake-up call.
Yeah.
That is a huge. I mean, I worked with a chap back in the UK. He was very famous. He was a former newsreader for ITN. And he had an alcohol problem. And he drank himself to death. And he didn't make his, I don't think he made his 45th birthday.
Wow.
And that's a huge wake-up call as well.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of people either waiting for the wake-up call or having signs along the way that might be something that they need to tune into to make a change.
And sometimes we often say this because we chat about health quite a lot on the show. Your friends are not doing any favours if they're giving you the compliments that they think you want to hear. Oh, you look great. Sometimes you've got to be brutally honest and say, I'm worried about you. You don't look right. Your skin's not right. You look very tired. You seem very down. I think we need to develop a bit more honesty when you're talking to your loved ones and friends.
Absolutely. You also need to have that conversation with yourself. You're correct. You're much wiser than you realise. But we don't. We distract ourselves with everything outside of ourselves. The internet, the radio, sorry, Mike. The internet, the radio, activities outside of ourselves. If we took some time to really listen, our body is always talking to us. My symptoms and signs were my body's way of trying to have a conversation with me and get my attention. Bleeding gums, digestive issues, aches and pains. I even had, like, the shape of the back of my thighs was the shape of the edge of my chair. That's how much sitting I was doing.
And this is another thing now, because of course more and more people are spending hours longer in the office than they would if you run your business from home as we do. Because we still do stuff in the UK, you can be up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're sitting at your desk,
and sitting is really killing us. And it's not so much the sitting, because I know that that's becoming a bit of a familiar topic of conversation, that sitting is detrimental, but it's actually stillness.
Yeah.
So even if you have a standing desk, you're still standing. So if you are standing at a standing desk, move.
Sounds like a limerick that's coming up. Anyway, you know, this is fascinating. And I say this very often. When I have guests that I enjoy chatting to, I always say, you need to come back in, because we've got so much more that we can talk about. Just get right up to date, excuse me, with your TV channel. Tell us, where can people find you, first of all? What website do they go to, or YouTube? And what can they expect to see?
Right. So the easiest way to find out all the different things that I offer, including the podcast, the TV show, the best-selling books, is to go to NicoleVanHaddam.com. Everything's there.
That's easy.
Very easy. NicoleVanHaddam.com. And what you'll find there are inspirational stories of people who've, what I call, saved themselves. So they've had a wake-up call, they started to listen to their own bodies, listen to their inner wisdom, and started to create change. And that change has therefore created ripple effects in other people's lives. So for me, with the experiences that I had, I then created the books, the coaching, the podcast, and the TV show, because I wanted to get that message out and amplify it. So when I met loads of other people that were doing amazing things, I wanted to create a platform that could be amplified in.
So it's all about collaboration as well.
It is, it is. I mean, I'm awesome, you're awesome, Mike, but there are tons.
Thank you. Tell me again, it's fine.
There's so many awesome people out there. So if we started to tune in to all of these people with great stories that can help us, inspire us, create change, well, isn't that what we want to be doing?
And a bit of positivity. We were chatting about this as well. Isn't it nice? I mean, and I have to tell you, it's a joy for me to have to... Well, this is why I choose my guests very carefully. We have positive people with good stories to tell. Nicole, your story is great. We will have you back, because what I'd like to do is maybe once your show is up and running and we get some more traction on that, get you in, discuss a little bit more about that, and who knows, might even find you some guests for your show.
Oh, please.
We can do that. If you want to find out a little bit more, NicoleVanHaddam.com. It's a nice, easy website. You'll find all the details on there. An absolute joy this morning. And as we say, we will have Nicole back on 101 FM in the not-too-distant future. Hi there!